those both should be brand new batteries. If this doesn't work, we're gonna have to go old school, so. I don't know what that means, but it's ironic, the sermon is about energy and power, so I think it fits well. All right. If I go out again and I don't notice it, just wave at me and I'll switch to a different mic. So, are we good? We're good? All right. Or you don't throw the ball. I was going to say throw the balls at me. Don't throw the balls at me. That's not going to happen. We're not going to do that. All right. So this Gaylor Gombarami, again, is in Zimbabwe, and he's doing different things. But one of the things he does is he passes out these New Testaments, part of the Bible, to people. And he found this one particular individual that just wasn't interested. He was just fairly belligerent about it. But Mr. Gombarami was able to convince him. He says, you know what? I just take it with you, actually. Just, you know, it's fine. And the man said, you know what, if I take it, I'm just going to end up rolling the pieces of paper and make cigarettes and smoke it. That's what I'm going to do with this if I take it. And the man's like, Mr. Cromwell, he's like, you know what, that's fine. Go ahead and do that, but promise me that you're going to read it before you smoke it. And so the man agreed, and he took the Bible, and they went their separate ways. 15 years later, they run into each other at a conference, at the conference in Zimbabwe, and the scripture-smoking pagan had been saved and was now a full-time evangelist. He got up in front of the audience and was speaking, and he said, you know what, I smoked my way through Matthew, I smoked my way through Mark, and I smoked Luke 2, but when I got to John 3:16, I couldn't smoke anymore. My life was changed from that moment. And I hope that's a true story. I really want it to be a true story. I don't know if it is or not, but it's just interesting to me how we look at our life. We look at our, really, in fact, I would say as a Christian, as someone, you know, I've been in a church for, you know, 40 plus years now of my life, you know, all my life, and most of us have been in church or been reading the Bible for a long time, and sometimes we forget there's a power to it. There's an energy to it. There's something about Scripture, about the Bible, that can speak to us, that can change someone's life and someone's heart and someone's worldview to the point where they do something different. And to me, I was thinking just this week, I was talking to some gentlemen, and it just occurred to me this week, and it not occurred to me, but was reminded this week of how powerful the Bible is still today, right, when the newest of it is 2,000 years old, and there's parts of it that are 4 and 6, and even, you know, probably parts of it as far as oral conditions, maybe even older, but it's amazing to me how that old document is still important for us today, and powerful, has energy yet today, but even across cultures, right? It works in America, it works in Haiti, it works in China, it works in South Africa, it works in Afghanistan, it works in all of these places because of who gave it to us and where this came from. And so I just want to kind of leave that as the foundation as we go through this morning, but for what we're going to look at this morning, we're going to be looking at the power of Scripture, the power of our lives, but also the energy that we see and experience through that as well. If you haven't been with us, we're doing this sermon series called The Way of the Warrior, and it's a sermon series based upon the book by the same name by a gentleman named Irwin McManus. And I love Irwin. I think he does a great job in his preaching and teaching and writing. And what his concept is in this warrior language of this battle, this fighting language, is finding a way to arrive to the place where I think all of us want to be, which is finding peace within ourselves. And when we have peace within ourselves, kind of this inner peace, that peace transcends and goes to our relationships and our world around us, our jobs and our families and all these different kinds of places. And so the peace that we desire in our world has to start with us. And so we've been talking about different ways to get there. We talked about making wise choices, godly choices. We talked about serving and taking care of each other. Last week we talked about taking responsibility for ourselves and our own actions, but also the life that we have and the life that we've been given. And so in all of these things, we're working towards this idea of finding peace. And as far as doing these and putting these into practice, we can find, again, a peace that's not just not conflict, right? A lot of times we are content in our world just to not have a lot of fighting happening in our world. This type of peace is a biblical peace where it's more than just not conflict, but it's tranquil. It's confidence within ourselves. It's even a prosperity kind of idea. Again, that goes into all of our relationships and all parts of our life. And so what we're going to look at this morning, again, is this idea of energy. And energy in certain contexts in certain parts of our world is a really strong buzzword, right? Well, she's got a lot of energy and he brings energy to this and there's energy in the room and all these different kinds of things. We obviously then too everywhere have energy drinks, right? Where you can get Monsters or whatever, and there's what, 30 different types of companies that produce energy drinks now and different ways to get energy. I like the old school way of getting energy, and that's, you know, a good old black cup of coffee, right? And that gets you from one cup of coffee at just enough to get to the next cup of coffee, to get to the next cup of coffee, and just to get through your day and find ways to get energy. But the energy that we're talking about, again, is that physical energy, right? Energy drinks, caffeine, different ways that we can kind of physically feel energized, or even just get through things. But also, I'm going to call it like a spiritual or emotional energy too. That's the type of energy where, you know, you come into a room and there's energy in the room, or that person brings an energy. That's a relational, a spiritual, maybe even an emotional energy. And they're obviously tied together, right? Physical energy and relational, emotional energy are tied together. But there are also certain differences as well. And so we're going to talk a little bit about both, but I want us to focus primarily on that, again, probably what I'll call relational or spiritual energy that a person has. The idea, again, of energy is that oftentimes, like I was talking about, we don't look for the long-term healthy solutions to energy, our energy problem, right? We look for something quick. We go to a cup of coffee. We get an energy drink. We go, you know, maybe try to get a quick nap. We don't look at the long-term answers to find that physical energy as well as that emotional and relational energy. And so we do what we can to get by, right? And I hate that mentality. I hate it in my own life. I hate seeing it in other people, because when we do just to get by or just enough to get by, we're not really living our fullest life, right? We're not living all of the potential, all the things that we're able to do, what God has maybe desired to do. That being said, there are times where energy is going to be in short supply, right? There are seasons of our life, situations in our world where we just have to get by. We have to get to that next cup of coffee. We have to get through that day. I was talking to a couple that their son graduated high school this year, and the mom said she'd been up till midnight the last two or three nights, and she says, "I'm way too old to stay up till midnight anymore," right? But she, you know, had to get stuff done, taken care of, and just be able to kind of get through that time. And there's seasons, right, where we get through, maybe even months or even years, a few years, where we just kind of get by. But when our whole life becomes about how do I get to that next cup of coffee? How do I survive till tomorrow? How do I get just enough to make it to the next day? To me, that's not good enough, right? I don't want that for me. I don't want that for any of us. McManus says, he says, the warrior always fuels the fire of their soul. And it's this idea, again, of that physical energy, that physical rest, right? We could talk about Sabbath. We could talk about, you know, getting enough sleep at night and some of those kind of things. But also the fuel for our soul of spending time with God, of renewing our connection with God in such a way that we are able to go out and do the things that he desires for us. And so McManus asks, he says, well, what is it that ignites your passion? What are the moments in which you feel the most energized? The warrior finds their greatest strength when they love to live and live to love. Right? And to me, those are two great questions to ask ourselves, probably even consistently. What are the things that we're excited about, that we're passionate about? What are the things that give us the most energy and provide us with that uplift and that excitement about doing and living life? But the emphasis, again, where McManus is at and where I want to make sure we're at, is that we're living a life that we love to live. We love to live our life, but we're living in order to love, right? And the love that McManus is talking about is the same love that Jesus talks about and God throughout the Bible talks about, is a love that is about other people and taking care of other people, right? And obviously, and we'll talk more about this in just a second, but obviously there's times where we can't do that, right? Where we have to take care of responsibility things. We have to take care of things that we choose or that we don't want to do, right? Wednesday night I spent 2.5 hours with my daughter in the ER, and I don't care to be in the ER ever, much for myself or for anyone else. And so I will, if you're in the ER and you want me to come visit you, I'll come, right? That's one of those things I'd be happy to do that. I did not enjoy my 2.5 hours on Wednesday night sitting with her while she got that taken care of. But there's things we have to do and have to take care of and be part of our life where we just take care of. But if our whole life is about our responsibilities and our chores and the things that we have to do, we're not loving to live, and we're definitely not living to love. Because in John 10:10, Jesus tells us that we should have a life that is abundant, right? He says, in contrast to what Satan wants to do, he says, Satan, the thief, comes to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly, right? And we look at this world, right? We look at the things that God has provided for us in this world, and you can't argue. You can't say that God wants us to just to get through the day and just to, you know, do what you have to do, and it has to be hard and it has to be difficult. You look at the world and you look at the way He created it, He wants us to enjoy it. He wants us to participate in it and to be entertained and to have joy and excitement about the things that He's created. Because He definitely could have created it where it was, you know, just very robotic, right? We got our food from, you know, dropped from heaven, and we didn't have to, you know, couldn't have the animals and things that we enjoy, and, you know, it'd be all mundane and simple. We wouldn't have any flavor or taste, you know, things to taste in this world. He created us in such a way to enjoy this world, to have life and to have it abundantly. And so God has given us these passions and these desires to live out, right? And there's so many things in this world, so many opportunities for us to live our lives passionately, to go after the things that we're excited about, the things that give us that, again, that give us a joy and an energy into this world. And He's given us a lot of those things as options, right? There's a lot of bad things out there too, right? There's lots of people passionate about things that are just wrong and not good for them or for others. But God has given us so many things for us to be passionate and excited about that He wants us to go after and to seek. And we'll talk more about that in Sunday school as we transition to that in a little bit. But again, the key that McManus writes is that this is all about living a life of love, right? We know God is a God of love, God is a God of life, and He wants us to have those things, to be passionate about those things, and to go after them. McManus also writes, he says that passion is not isolated to a singular force, but to life itself. And that our lives, again, are filled with that excitement and that passion, that energy to do the things that God has called us and provided for us to do. A few weeks ago, we were reading in the children's story, the story of Ezra and Nehemiah. And I love Ezra. If you haven't read Ezra and Nehemiah recently, I really encourage you to go back and look at what they have to say. Because it's such a neat story. Because after all these bad and horrible things have happened to God's people, these Israelites, He brings them back, or at least a part of them, a remnant, get to come back to their land. And when they come back to the land, you'd think they'd be excited and there'd be a lot of joy and they'd be, you know, all this stuff going on that they're just, we're back home and this is great and we love it. But then, like I said, in the children's story, we read from Nehemiah, right around chapter 7 and 8, where Ezra, this priest, gets up and he starts reading from the book of the law, Moses' book of the law, that God had given them, and he's telling them all the things that God told them to do, you know, the commandments and all the things that God asked and required for them to do in this world. And their response was grief. Their response was pain and sorrow and guilt that they weren't doing the things that they were supposed to be doing. They weren't living the life that God had called them to live. And so they became almost probably, the way it's portrayed is almost overwhelmed by how terrible they were making, the terrible choices they were making, the life that they were living. But then Nehemiah gets up, and if I'm the pastor that, you know, like Ezra gets up and tells them all the bad news, Nehemiah gets to get up, and it's kind of good cop, bad cop kind of a thing. So Ezra gives them all this bad news, all these terrible things that are, you know, the things that they should be thinking about. Nehemiah gets up and says, you know what? Listen to this, verse 10 of chapter 8. He says, go your way. Eat the fat and drink the sweet wine, and send your portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Like I said, I feel a little bad for Ezra, because he gets all the bad news, and then Nehemiah gets up and says, you know what? We're gonna, and when he says eat the fat and drink the wine, sweet wine, I just hear go eat Skittles and drink some Coke. That's what I hear. I don't know if that's just me, but you know, Joel, hold on a second. All right. He says, go and eat, you know, enjoy the things of this world. Enjoy the things that I provided for you. Enjoy what I've given to you in this world. And right now, anyway, and this is a very specific context, right? He's not saying we should always, you know, eat Skittles and drink Coke. And I do that anyway, but he's not always constantly doing that, obviously. In their specific context, Nehemiah wanted to remind them of what God had done for them. He had brought them back. He had brought them back to their, you know, their nation and their country to be able to live. And at this time, in this situation, he says, this day, we're going to celebrate. We're going to have a good time. We're going to enjoy the things that God has provided for us. And he says, don't be grieved. Don't be upset. Don't be overwhelmed. Because God is giving you strength. The joy, he says, of the Lord is your strength. And to me, that talks a lot about energy. That talks a lot about the things that God has done for us and provided for us. And again, we can respond with grief and remorse and lament. And we can, and we maybe should at times. But we should also, again, like Steve mentioned in the communion meditation, we should always look to the sweet side of it too. That Jesus has taken care of things, that Jesus has accomplished things on the cross for us to be able to have a joy and an excitement to live in this world, to follow our passions and to go after them as well. The joy of the Lord, he says, is our strength. But again, it all falls into God's purposes. What are the things that God has desired for us to do, to go after, to seek after, to be and put our time and our energy into, and to fill out his purposes, right? And there's so many things that God can use us for and to accomplish in this world, but again, it always goes back to what God tells us in his word, right? Not for smoking, but for reading and for participating in. And so he provides us with these passions and the excitements to live them out in his way. But there are a couple things, just really quickly, I want to go through two things quickly that I think get in the way of that. And the first one is going back to Nehemiah's words here, Ezra and Nehemiah, is our negative emotions can get in the way of that. The negative things that we see in our world, we see in ourselves, we see around us, can get in the way of the things that God desires for us. And those emotions like bitterness or unforgiveness, jealousy, envy, even greed, anger, get in the way of God doing the things in us that we desire, that he desires for us to do the things that he desires. McManus writes that these emotions send our energy in a direction that does not replenish our soul, but in fact leaves us feeling lifeless and empty. And I would say one of the reasons we don't live our passions, we don't go after the things that we desire in this world, is because we have remorse or regret or jealousy or envy or some kind of negative emotion that holds us back. The second thing, just quickly as well, is sometimes those around us can kind of say, this is the way you should look, or this is the way you should behave, or this is what you should do. And that can come from lots of different sources, parents, school, you know, teachers, schools, siblings, peers, all sorts of different, the culture in general, even the church, right? There are books written that are called, one's called No More Christian Nice Girl, and there's another one called No More Christian Nice Guy. I haven't read those books for a while, so I'm not saying go read these books by any means. I haven't read them for a while, so I don't know exactly what's in all of them. But the premise is that the church can say, this is what a good Christian person, good Christian girl, good Christian guy, that's what they look like, right? And especially our culture in the Midwest, you know, small rural churches, we say this is what they should look like. You know, they shouldn't wear this, they shouldn't have those, we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that. And this is what a good Christian person is or does or looks like. And sometimes, unfortunately, that pigeonholes people that are excited and passionate about something outside of that, that is good and godly and wonderful. And so there are people that are within our church, and I've felt this pressure to a certain extent too, that don't go after the things that they think are God-given, God-provided, because the church has said, no, that's not appropriate for you. That's not appropriate for this situation. And I just want to say that that's not, that there are times, obviously, where we need to step outside that. certain amount of that is we rebel against it and we push back on it because we're angry or upset or something like that too. But I think there are also times where we need to push back on it because it's not what God wants for us as well. And so through our negative emotions or through those kind of molds that we're given or maybe even put on ourselves, we can be held back from our potential and the things that God desires for us. And I would say especially those emotions. There's this story that I found where a psychologist named Dr. Henry Goddard tested the levels of energies on kids. And I don't know how he got kids to sit still long enough to test this, but he got these kids, they hooked him up to this ergograph, which sounds really painful. I don't think it probably was, but it sounds painful. So he hooks him up to this machine, and he tests their energy level. And when he tests them, and he said when they are given compliments or some kind of praise or encouragement, there shows an immediate increase in their energy level. But then when the opposite is true, when they're criticized or put down or discouraged, it showed a significant nosedive in their energy level. And I guarantee all of us could probably relate to that as well, right? I know when I get some kind of bad news or someone, you know, says something critical or even, you know, not mean, but just you know, well, this is what, you know, you did this wrong or this isn't quite right or this, you know, didn't work out. My energy level immediately drops, right? I get really tired really quick when those kind of things happen. And I think we all can relate and understand that. But that's the nature, again, of this idea of energy, is we feel an excitement and a passion and a joy when we're encouraged and we're challenged and we're given, you know, some kind of hope or, you know, praise of some kind to be able to go out and do that, which is why, again, we need to watch those levels as well. And so as we close, again, there's a difference in energy levels in terms of physical and kind of the emotional and spiritual, but again, they're tied together, right? Oftentimes, we just think of ourselves as batteries, right? If I'm tired, I'm going to go take a nap, or I'm going to go, you know, go to sleep, and I'm going to rest for a while. I'm going to sit down and just kind of chill for a while. All of us, you know, when we're tired, we just start flipping through our phone and find, you know, something mindless to do for a while. Right, and we need to do that, right? We need to have that time where we're sleeping physically or resting physically and taking time to just kind of recharge those batteries. But there's also something interesting, and we all know this. We've experienced this, but maybe not processed this fully, where we receive energy when we do the things that we're passionate about. We get energy when we're doing the things that we love and enjoy doing, right? I deaned the week of junior week up at Lemoyne, the 5th and 6th graders, and by Friday, I promise you, I'm going to be taking a nap, right? When we get home Friday, I'm going to go home, and I'm just going to rest and veg and not take too many responsibilities. But I get so much energy from not just being at camp, right, and spending time with the kids and goofing around and having fun and teaching them about Jesus, but even in the process of planning and the creative part of it. I love, you know, coming up with new themes and new ideas and new games and different things for them to do. Those kind of things give me energy. And I know some of you think about planning something and you're already getting tired, just me trying to tell you about it. I get that, right? I get excited about planning and putting things together and the creative part of it especially, of being able to come up, oh, this is a fun game and we'll try this and do this. And then my energy, you know, and then when we do it and the kids just whine and complain, my energy level drops a little bit. But that's beside the point. But, you know, there's things that you guys are passionate and excited and wanting to do in this world that God has given you that even though they're work, even though they, you know, they'll strain you a little bit or they'll make you a little tired, they give you energy too, right? They give us that joy and that excitement for doing things in this world. McManus says, he says, the things we love to do energize us. The things we do not enjoy doing cost us energy. And this is important, I think, for us this morning. Every day of your life, of our life, we choose to give ourselves to those things that either give us energy or we choose to give ourselves to those things that cost us energy. And I am fortunate, and I know I'm kind of rare in this way, I am so fortunate that my job and the things I'm passionate about really tie almost perfectly together most of the time, right? There are definitely times of my job where it's, you know, a little bit more hard and more energy depriving. I'm not going to give you examples because I don't want to offend anyone. But no, the idea is we do. I am so blessed because I get to do the things that I'm passionate and excited about on, you know, kind of almost a day-by-day basis. And so I have, I'm given energy. I have, a much more, I think, joy and excitement for this world than maybe some others, because they spend their week doing things that they don't get to get that joy and that energy from. And I'm not saying you should go and quit your job if you're not getting energy from it. But what I am saying is that, can we make choices within our jobs, within our day-to-day life, within our hobbies or activities or the things we do, and invest in things that give us joy, that give us energy, that provide us with our passion, rather than just getting by, rather than just working to do the things that we have to do and take care of the things that have to get done. And there are times, right, that the dishes have to get done. I despise the dishes. They drain me. My wife loves doing the dishes, or at least that's what I'm going to assume. And so she gets joy and energy. She probably doesn't as much, but there are things in life that we absolutely have to do and have to take care of, and they're just part of life. But my hope and my joy, my purpose for my life is that more of my things that I do are things that I'm passionate and excited and are good, that give me energy. And so hopefully we can again all find that as we move forward as well. We're going to close with Isaiah 40:29-31, because it gives us an image of what God can do for us and provide for us as we move forward in this as well. And in verse, 29 of Isaiah 40, he says, God gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. He says, even youths fall and faint and become weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. We can do all of these things, right? We can make choices of things that give us energy. We can go after our passions. We can live a life that's full of love and caring for those around us. But all of that ultimately comes down to leaning into God, to trusting in Him to be able to provide us the things that we need to accomplish the things that He desires for us in this world. And so the energy we bring to this world and the power that I think God can use in us ultimately comes from Him. But we can help along the process in the choices that we make as well. McManus, to close here, says, when you know the why to your life, you find the strength to live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the imagery and the power of your word. We thank you for what you've provided for us and done for us. But we also are just thankful that you have given each of us passions. We pray that whatever has maybe hindered those things, go after fear or doubt or worry or anything else that may be negative, we pray that we can push those aside and we can make choices, again, of life and of love that we're excited about and things that we want to do and that bring us energy. And I pray that more of our choices can be about following those passions and allowing those things that are mundane and hard and difficult to just be swallowed up in the joy and the passion that we have for living a life of you. And we pray this all in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Worship team, come on up.